your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Co-hosting with me today, my good friend Chad Bronstein, founder and CEO at Philo, and Daniel Carcillo, former NHL Blackhawk and founder of the Chapter 5 Foundation. Welcome to the show, guys.
We're excited to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, great to have you guys. So, you know, Daniel, lots of amazing stories. You know, Chad's been telling me a lot about you and have read a ton, and you've had quite the journey and quite the story to tell. So where do we even start?
Yeah, I guess we could start with a little bit about myself. I grew up in King City, Ontario, Canada. And in Canada, it's the sport of hockey's kind of like religion, like the NFL is in America. And so I started applying myself to that sport from a very young age and ended up realizing that I had an opportunity to be successful at it. So when I was 14, really fully applied myself and ended up moving, well, getting drafted to the OHL, moving 3 hours away from home, living with a billet family that takes you in, going to a new high school and trying to get drafted to the NHL, trying to fast track. And so when I was 17, ended up getting drafted to the NHL 72 overall. And then my NHL career started when I was 19, turning 20. I was lucky enough to play over 12 years of professional hockey, 9 years in the NHL, went to the Stanley Cup Finals 4 times with 3 different teams, won twice, lost twice. And I've actually also sustained 7 documented concussions and a lot of others that that really went undiagnosed. And that's kind of where this journey's kind of brought me full circle, speaking to you and sitting here with Chad. Just about recovering my brain health using cannabis, medicinal mushrooms, as well as psilocybin-containing mushrooms. And right now, you know, I've got a close to signing a 20-acre, a lease on a 20-acre farm and growing my own hemp. I grew 750 plants last year to be put into nano-emulsified oil. Just about ready to launch that brand and expand into this new farm and then also into a medicinal mushroom grow, because what I've used to recover my brain health is cannabis, high CBD with medicinal mushrooms like lion's mane, reishi, and cordyceps melded together, as well as a 14-15 mushroom blend of a microdose of psilocybin. So tracking that through my blood work, through QEEGs, through science to show people, you know, anecdotal stories are really cool, but I like to, you know, show people the science behind everything so that you could prove the efficacy of what you're doing, and everything's grown organically. And so, yeah, just really exciting kind of moving into this new space of my life and serving veterans and first responders. And obviously, the athletic community is always going to be there. So, you know, just really getting these high-level trauma communities back and optimize their brain health.
Amazing. I just had one quick question for you as far as I can't wait to hear about, you know, everything that you're doing now, especially on the mushroom front. But, you know, when you were in the NHL, you had a nickname that everybody knew you for, right? So I'm just curious about Car Bomb. Like, can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, like, with that, with me, you know, loving the game of hockey, man. Like, I loved it. It was an emotional release, even from a really young age. And so that kind of carried through. What actually happened was when I was a minor, what should have been the best year of my life was also the worst year of my life. We went through, 12 of us rookies went through a lot of emotional, physical, sexual abuse at the hands of veterans and coaches. And I think that event, now looking back on my career, really shaped me into the player that I was, or actually changed me into that persona Car Bomb that everybody saw. I was just a complete psycho on the ice and really unpredictable, and you didn't know what I was going to do to you. But it served me in the way that that's what these NHL teams wanted, because you don't want Kaner out there and these other teams taking liberties on guys like him and Taves and Keith without a response. And I was that response. And did it really well. And, you know, halfway, well, about right at the beginning of my career, I was, you know, we were standing, I remember, at Barney's, this outdoor patio bar. And this guy looked at me, one of my former teammates, like, man, we need a nickname for you. And he's like, Car Bomb. And I'm like, it just kind of stuck, man. It just kind of stuck.
What's really interesting, by the way, back to his story earlier, is like he actually goes, and he was saying this, but he actually farms himself, right? So he's farming literally 20 minutes down the street from me in from Oak Brook to Homer Glen. And so he's out in the farm all day long, kind of like Jim was telling us in our last podcast. That's Daniel, right? So it's just to call that out, people don't just understand that he's actually doing it himself on the farm by himself. So it's pretty impressive. You know, from back to the NHL and the Car Bomb, people, you talk about entertainment, right? Like, Car Bomb was entertainment, but people don't realize what you're going through. I think that's what the story, like, really excited me, not excited me, but I was touched by her story, is that all the pain you're going through to entertain everybody else was taking a big toll on your body. So when was it that you knew, like, you, the concussions and all the stuff were driving a lot of behaviors you didn't like, as well as when did you start your journey on to medicinal psychedelics and cannabis?
That's a great question. You know, I look back on my career now and I could realize that event that I told you guys about in my draft year really shaped a lot of things about me, both on and off the ice. And it's a funny thing when you are singularly focused and you're in that world, which is a really small world, the hockey world. It's not very big. Everybody knows each other. And really, you just operate. You don't talk about your feelings, especially back when, you know, I started my career in 2005. It's not like it is today where everybody's mental health this and anxiety and depression, and it's really at the forefront. But when I retired, I could really see how my anxieties and my depression, my depressive state, was really driving this person, this persona that I made for myself, which was Car Bomb. And it came to a head from 20 to 25. There was a lot of substance abuse. There's a lot of opiates being prescribed to us. There was a lot of Ambien. There was a lot of drinking. And at 25, I just finished the biggest contract of my career. And it kind of came to a head because I didn't have a job and nobody really wanted to touch me because, again, you know, the word travels really fast about who you are and what you do. And I wasn't a very good teammate. I was still useful on the ice and teams still wanted me. So the Blackhawks didn't have somebody like me to protect their star players. And so they picked me up at a really big discount on a 1-year deal. And the writing was on the wall. I was just like, man, if I keep going down, you know, this path that I'm on, I'm definitely not going to be doing this for a very long time. And I want to keep playing because you're also very fearful because you don't do any spirituality work. I didn't know who I was and I totally identified with just being a hockey player. And so going to rehab like really changed everything for me and getting off opiates and like, you know, I got introduced to this way of like spirituality and breathing techniques. And I'm like, you could actually, you know, meditate and stretch and that releases tension. Like it was just something totally new. And oh, I can talk about how I feel. And that makes me actually just feel better. It alleviates everything. I don't have to deal with it inside. And after that, you know, I mentioned that I went to the Stanley Cup Finals 4 times in 5 years. That was after I got this help. So 25 to 30 was when all of that success happened for me. And, you know, I hate to quote Drake, but if you live the right way, your luck is a sure thing. And that's kind of a testament to what I saw. And then, you know, when I retired at 30, it got difficult again because you don't have any help. And you need to de-learn everything. For example, like as an athlete, I'm used to calling myself a loser and being super hypercritical about every single shift, about everything I eat, everything that I'm doing that's taking my attention either to hockey or away from it. And I had to unlearn that because it was just destructive, these destructive thought patterns that I had. And then that's where psychedelics came in. That's where the fear-based learning, I understood that I could start being gentle to myself, start loving myself. In turn, once I started to do that and change my self-narrative, then I started having a better relationship with my wife. I was more patient with my kids, less impulse control issues. I was in less pain because I was taking these anti-inflammatories. Then I started diving into, you know, the research behind cannabis and the anti-inflammation properties. And then the research behind the neurogenesis properties of these mushrooms. So it was like a real big just turnaround for me, and really just now, you know, learning, relearning everything, which is really exciting. Like this is the happiest by far I've ever been in my life. And I've won 2 Stanley Cups, but, you know, farming and being in nature and growing medicine for these, you know, less fortunate, but, you know, these communities that really have a lot of trauma that people don't realize, and being able to give them this medicine at an equitable access point, which is why I do everything on my own. There's no brokers. There's nobody other than, you know, Jeremy from Boulder Hemp helping me with the boutique seeds and the nutrient schedules. And one good thing is I'm really coachable. So, you know, we were successful last year, and then we're expanding this year and into a little bit more hemp and some other novel cannabinoids like CBG. And then with the medicinal mushroom grow, I think education is first and foremost, you know, and being able to have your own farm. I have my own production team and started a podcast. I think we lead with education, and then, you know, people will try the medicine. They'll see how well it does for helping to calm anxiety and creating homeostasis and creating really just, we all deal with stress, you know, like on an everyday basis, man. And so what can we introduce into our lives that are natural products that don't have any side effects, that help us with stressors and then inherently help us with our quality of life? And that's what these medicines do.
Yeah. Awesome. You know, last summer you grew something like 750 hemp plants to harvest CBD. You know, Chad was just saying that you're in the farm, you're growing these plants, and it sounds to me like it makes you really happy. And, you know, we had this conversation the other day with Jim too, at Belushi Farms. Like, he loves being in the farm. And I really connected with that too, because I love farming also. But I'm just curious if you could tell us a little bit about like your experience in maintaining the plants. And do you go there? Do you have a routine? Is there something that you kind of space your day out where it's like maybe you're doing some pruning? And like, what does it look like when you're in the farm?
Yeah, so this year will be a lot more automated. Last year, I actually hand watered everything because I just did it on my neighbor's property. And yeah, it was, but it was a great experience. Like, so one of the best things, I'm a big brain health advocate overall and mental health advocate. And one of the best things that you can do for your brain health, for brain regeneration, is to get morning sun. So when I started getting up, and getting that morning sun, and then also, you know, being on the supplements, and then being around life, you know, being around these plants, I credit the medicine to helping me kind of, you know, get over the stressors of not ever planting a seed in my life, and then going from 0 to 750. But I also credit, you know, the morning sun, and then having a new purpose and working with this life. You know, I talked about the self narrative. And I remember at the 2-month mark, you know, I drove up to these plants and they were about 2 feet tall. And I was like, wow, good job, Dan. And I was like, who the hell was that? You know, like that voice had never, ever come up before. And but as it goes to the work, like you basically, what I did was I prepped the land. I tilled it. And got it pretty fine. And then I made raised beds. I put it on 4-foot spacings. I got the spacings wrong. You know, just being the first time, I didn't stagger them, and they were a little tight, but they still managed to grow and yield pretty well. But after I made the raised beds, then I put down the plastic, and that's just for weed suppression and the microbial action. And then, you know, literally just I planted, you know, and so before all that happened, I went into 72 cell trays. And then at a certain point, I took a few videos and pictures, and because there was some, they didn't look as green as I wanted. And that was low nitrate. So I treated some of them, and Jeremy, you know, helped me with that, to what to give to the plants. And then there's a point that comes where you need to check for males and females. Even though I bought feminized seed, you still have to check, because if you have one male, then it'll pollinate all of the females. And with high CBD strains, growing for high CBD, it's not a dual purpose crop. We're growing them here like little Christmas trees. And the last thing you want is seeds, because that takes away from your CBD content. So that was, you know, after that, then the biggest thing is to just start testing your CBD or THC and CBD content to see what you have come September 1, because you want to stay compliant, because what we're growing is it has to be below the 0.3% THC mark to be considered hemp. And so that's the next task. And then once you see that those plants are around, you know, 0.25, 0.28, then it's time to come out of the ground. So then I had some friends come over. I'm actually going to release a really cool farming video that I made last year of like the harvest day. And
cool.
Yeah, this year we're going to track a lot more of the process. But then you dry it, you cure it. And once it's dry, you snap the branches. And if they bend, they need a little bit more time. If they snap, then they're pretty much ready to go. And we shucked. And I brought everything down to a processing facility in Kentucky to be put into a nano emulsified oil, which really helps for like headaches, migraines, and a rapid release tincture that breaks the blood brain barrier. So yeah, man, that's a little bit of the process.
Sounds like fun. Chad, I think we need to have a farm.
Daniel, for like the past couple of weeks now, I may have to partner with him on some of this, which we're talking about. And maybe you're going to come into it too, as we discussed earlier. But let's just say, so, you know, what's really cool about Daniel as I got to know him, and I think it's, you know, what I like about how he looks at this is that there's so, you know, just with cannabis, so he's in cannabis and then psychedelics, so I'm going to bucket it as both, but destigmatizing everything, right? I was on the phone with my mom the other day, and I was telling her about you, and she, you know, she has ringing in her ear. I was like, you got to try psychedelics, you know, microdosing.
Come on.
No, that's what I was saying. I was like, tell my mom this, and she's like, and I also was trying to tell her about CBD, which she bought Mike Lee's CBD, but I was like, I got this other guy, Daniel, he treated himself with this, and he's got to try it, but she's like, I can't hallucinate. She's just, you know, the uneducation on it. So Daniel, you know, you're working so much in education. You talk about it a lot. Like, you're helping out the communities that are, like you said, people that need the help, that veterans, et cetera. But what about everybody? How do you get the education to people that are really struggling? They're taking, like you said, opioids, or they're taking big pharma. Yeah. How do you get them to be okay with something that's actually healthier for them?
I mean, I think that's a great question, Chad, like a really great question. And one of my tools that I use is the farm. And that's why I need to stay close. Like, just like Jim, it's something that really makes me happy. But what makes me even happier is providing this education to people, because the reality is the government has deemed that cannabis and certain mushrooms that contain psilocybin are illegal. But these plants and these fungi, they grow out of the ground naturally. And one of the main reasons that they've deemed it's illegal is because they can't patent it. Big Pharma can't patent these things, and they can't make money if they can't patent it. And so, you know, it goes back to the war on drugs and Nixon, and I don't want to delve down into that rabbit hole too much. But at the core of it, they ran a really, really great program that says if you take mushrooms, your brain is going to bleed. And if you smoke cannabis, you are going to go into psychosis. And they scared everybody. They scared everybody away from it. And now what we're realizing is we've discovered the endocannabinoid system. The U.S. government has taken out patents on all cannabinoids in 2003 as neuroprotectants and antioxidants. And so if the U.S. government has a patent on it, then why aren't we using it? And so this is like a really amazing tool for people who are in the military and for our veterans who are right now hopped up on 13 different psychotropic drugs and really with terrible side effects. And the really exciting thing is there's no side effects the only thing that you really hear is, well, that didn't do anything for me, you know, which is pretty amazing.
So if your kids are growing up and they're have anxiety, are you going to tell your kids to do Xanax, or are you going to tell your kids to microdose on psychedelics?
Yeah, so that's one of the things that we're researching right now is the dosage for children and natural fungal extractions. You know, I will never, ever tell my children or give anything to my children that's derived and then put into a synthetic form. Because the thing about this medicine, it's all derived from a plant, but they isolate one single molecule out of these amazing plants. And then they're able to say, they're able to patent that, and that's how they make the money off of it. So with all the side effects and everything, you know, we eat organically. We don't eat any GMO foods. I think if people are out there and they wanted to like go down this rabbit hole, Monsanto, who sprays and grows all our food, they also own Bayer, who makes our pharmaceuticals. So do you trust these people that are worth trillions of dollars while everybody else is out there struggling? I go into this with my eyes wide open. I don't lose sleep over it, but I like to sprinkle the infield for people with this type of knowledge so that they can start really making, you know, educated decisions. And you talk about destigmatizing, you bring a camera on to these fields, and then you empower everyday people. Like my model isn't to go after athletes and have it in UFC fights and all this stuff. My model is to empower people in everyday communities, right, to heal. Number one, heal yourself. And then, like, for example, my wife saw the amazing gains that I had with these medicines and how bad it got. And now she's had migraines since she was 15. She's been on it since January, and she hasn't had a migraine since. And so if you heal yourself, you could heal your family, and then you could heal your community. And so that's kind of the model that we're leading with.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, Daniel, you bring up a very important point. I think a lot of people out there who are on prescription drugs don't look at prescription drugs as, you know, necessarily drugs, right? They're looking at it as, oh yeah, this is going to help me feel better. But at the end of the day, those are actually more toxic to our bodies than, you know, what we're talking about here, which is true, natural, holistic healing, right? With no side effects. So I'm just curious from you, at least on the microdosing front, like how do you look at this from use cases? So when should people microdose and how much? And because it's obvious it's a new genre, if you will, beyond cannabis, right? That a lot of people are almost like scared to dip their toes in, right?
Yeah. So there's a couple different ways to look at it. You could look at it from, obviously there's a big push. Okay, I'm sick, or I'm recognizing things like anxiety and depression in my life that are affecting my quality of life. Let me get help. And so one of the biggest things that you have to be able to do is be in touch with yourself to be able to see that your life is somewhat becoming unmanageable, and then you can reach for this. And that's not the only reason that people do it. They also do it, like I'm talking to you, you're a high operating person, and I'm sitting across from another high operating person in Chad. You guys can use this for cognitive enhancement. And what I've found is that even though I turn to it to regain my brain health, because we can delve into the science a little bit about it. There's other ways to effectively use this to improve your quality of life. And you don't need to be in a disease state or in a state like I was 10 months ago, where I was making a plan to end my own life. And that is only because I've tried all of the traditional concussion clinics and all of the, you know, changing the diet and refraining from refined white sugar and you know, just nothing was working. And so this helped me on a neurological level and helped me regain and helped me heal all of the trauma that happened in my head. And so if people want to learn more about this, not going to beat the drum too much, they can go to Johns Hopkins, and there's over 70 publications now. They can go to the Imperial College of London with Robin Carhart-Harris, and he has a really great study done on psilocybin and an fMRI screen that shows the different regions of the brain communicating to each other. Because at the basis of brain health is flushing out inflammation, which is what CBD does, and then promoting neurogenesis, which is what mushrooms do, creating new neurological pathways. And that's what I've done. And like one of the biggest things that I've noticed is that it's helped me multitask. And it's helped me, I do 15, 16 different things a day, just like how you guys do. And I don't need to write anything down. I don't need to set reminders. I operate more off of intuition rather than the thinking mind. I think one of the biggest things, though, for people out there, like, for example, life still happens, right? And this is just a tool. Like, I want to reiterate that. And then I also want to say, like, I'm not, you know, you need to go do your own research, because this is just my experience, and I'm not I'm not a doctor. And but one of the biggest things that it's helped me with is to recognize and be in tune with myself, more in tune with myself for when I do start slipping. So like my things are oversleeping or undersleeping, overeating and undereating, and impulse control issues. So when I see even just a little bit of that stuff start creeping back into my life, I need to go inside and I need to ask myself, well, what's going on, you know, and take a look. And, oh, I'm stressed because I'm doing this new business where I have no idea what I'm doing. But what it allows me to do is even though I'm not per se, I didn't graduate with a business degree, I have the skill set from hockey and to be able to apply that and then learn, you know, and I am coachable. And so like talking with people like you and Chad, it's a blessing. You know, you meet these people that can help. I just started. I don't know why I started that, honestly, 10 months ago. You know, I don't know why I went from zero seeds to 750, but I was coachable. And now I feel so comfortable with it. And I'm so happy to be able to like do this with Earl, who's an 88-year-old veteran, and just show him, you know, what the potentials are and how we can help these different communities and really educate, man. You know, you always have a camera there, you know, and you always show the process, no matter how easy and no matter how difficult, you know, like I'm all about like showing that raw and real process. And it's, you know, these medicines can help us be more in tune with who we truly are and where we truly need to go. And if, you know, if you're listening to this and you know, the people you hang around with don't make you happy, well, then, you know, take a look at that. And if you're miserable at your job, then take a look at that. And you can do something else, you know?
Yeah. So Daniel, you had mentioned a little while ago that you're going to be launching a podcast. So we'd love to hear about that. And for all the folks that are listening to our show today, you know, let's tell them about your podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, thank you. And I'd love to get both of you guys on it. You guys can come to my house and we'll set up. I've got a production team in 96 Studios that's helping me brand everything and that's following all of this progress, all of the things that I've kind of told you guys about. So it's called The Daniel Carcillo Journey. And it just basically hyper-focused on brain health and improving quality of life and personal growth and talking about, you know, mental health and talking about brain health and talking to people that are in the cannabis world. For example, we've got our first podcast dropping on 420.
Nice.
Yeah, Dr. Mike Hart, and he's a cannabis physician out of London, Ontario, Canada. He's been on Joe Rogan before and he's just a really knowledgeable guy and a great guy. Like, it's kind of funny how it comes full circle. He's used to be a big fan, him and his dad like diehard Blackhawks fans. So really cool guy. And again, it's like, it's not just talking about cannabis because that's just one of these tools. There's also intermittent fasting. There's diet. There's a whole host of things. There's exercise, there's yoga, there's spirituality, there's wellness. There's a whole host of things that have to change if you are suffering to be able to really, you know, let this medicine be as effective or the most effective that you can have, you know. And so talking to neuroscientists, talking to CTE pathologists so that people understand the risks that they're under playing these sports, because I've got a lot of buddies who are still current players. And, you know, the league just doesn't tell you the full truth. And, you know, what's exciting is to, you know, just have these longer form discussions instead of just 140 characters or 10 minutes on Instagram, you know, and really just educate, man. It's all about, you know, and I'm educating myself too. Like, I'm an interested, you know, person. I like to ask questions and I like to speak to people that know more than me so that I can learn more every day.
Awesome. Well, I think you're going to have a great show. And this was great. It was great to hear about your journey and all the interesting things that you're, you know, kind of moving into. And I think it's great for the industry and the space. And I think also from the, you know, the athletic world, you know, I think a lot of people probably look up to you, you know, for all the things that you're standing up for, which is not easy, you know, kind of post, you know, coming out of a big league like the NHL. Really powerful stuff.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's you know, I think somebody's got to do it. You know, like, I don't work in the NHL anymore, and a lot of guys, that's what they do, so they're not able to tell the truth, even though I know they want to. So I'm cool with being a martyr, you know.
I mean, if you listen to his story earlier about being the car bomb, right?
Yeah.
Thinking about it now, is you're protecting on the ice, and now you've taken it to protecting people off the ice when they're done with their sports. So I think it's pretty admirable.
So Daniel, we do, if you've heard the podcast before, we ask a couple questions at the end, really easy, quick fire. You ready?
Yeah, buddy.
Describe the color yellow.
Bright.
What sound does a seal make?
A slapping sound. Do you actually want me to do it?
Yeah. That's awesome. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you enjoy garlic?
I'd say 8.
Okay, fair enough. What's the craziest thing you've ever done?
Oh, boy. Flipped a Hummer in a cornfield.
Damn, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
What's your favorite food?
Favorite food? I'd say fish.
What makes you happy?
My family.
And last question, would you rather have a third eye or a third arm?
Oh, third eye for sure. Well, I kind of already feel like I have that, so maybe I should say arm. Yeah.
You could do more in the garden, in the on the farm with three arms, right?
Yeah, cut that production.
Exactly. Well, Daniel, this was awesome. And, you know, thanks so much for joining Chad and I. And, you know, I'm actually going to tune into your show on Monday and, you know, excited to have a listen.
Yeah, great, man. Thanks for having me.
I'll send you some shrooms.
Send you some medicine.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.